We're here with season 5, episode 3 with Jonesy. How's it going, man?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Pretty good, man. So for the listeners who do not know you, can you give some background information about yourself?
My name is Jonesy. I'm from New Haven. I rap, technically sing bad, and I don't know, just make music.
That's dope, bro. So I always like to ask, how has the culture in your home city changed since you've grown up?
All around? It's kind of like, I don't know. Before it was just like, I feel like a lot of people looked at it like New Haven. It was like a dangerous kind of place. Mm-hmm. I mean, it still is in some parts, but I feel like now it's a lot more like more open. There's a lot like different people there. You know I'm saying? Yeah. A lot of college kids and stuff.
That's cool, man. So when did you start making music? And when did it start becoming serious?
Started 2014 when my boy C-Note, like when I went to college, because I used to play like football and shit, and I stopped playing football, so I didn't have anything to do. We would just smoke all day and just and just freestyle. So it started there, and he makes beats, so he's been making beats for like the longest time.
Yeah.
So we were just doing that, and then I just started making. I think I recorded my first one early 2014 or late 2014, and then like I dropped like 20 songs in between that, like from 2014 to 2016, and it was just like I was like dropping music, but I wasn't like really like locked in.
Yeah.
But then like late 2016, I really like.
That's when you really started locking in,
yeah.
Making all the EPs and a couple of mixtapes.
Yeah.
Interesting. So where did you derive your flow from?
It's a lot of different places. Like I say, like this is our artist from Cali. His name is Blue, the BLU. So one of my favorite rappers. So him, I used to listen to like a lot of Tribe Called Quest. Tyler the Creator, when I was younger, everybody had their Odd Future phase. And then like I don't know, I've had my like a bunch of phases. I listened to everything, like G-Unit, Nas, all that stuff. Like I've literally gone through everything.
Yeah, so you've gone from the oldies all the way to what's coming now. Like what do you think about Tyler now? He's been killing it. He scored the Grinches.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother type of lane that he's in.
Yeah,
he's
definitely
killing it, man.
Yeah, Tyler, it's lit now because he's just like, you could tell he's been wanting to do stuff like this for a while.
Yeah, and now he finally has a chance.
Yeah. So that's cool. But like musically, I don't know. My favorite album from him is probably like Cherry Bomb or Woof. Yeah.
See, I didn't get to appreciate it enough. He dropped the instrumental tape of it, and I went back, but I still haven't listened to it all the way through.
Yeah.
But I've heard it. Like a lot of his stans love it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. Cherry Bomb is dope because it's like a little bit of everything. And it's kind of like the precursor to like the more melodic sound he has now.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So who have you worked with out of CT?
My boy Two Butter. Are we just doing rappers or producers? Or
let's do both.
Both. All right. So my boy Butter, my best friend Cino, obviously. Say Kuro, Mike Green, Misfit. Well, he used to be Muda. Now it's Smile,
Crybaby.
Yeah, that little rebrand. And there's a lot of others. My boy The Law from Danbury.
Yep.
He makes a lot of my beats. And I think I'd say those are the most, like, the main ones. My boy, Cordell, a.k.a. Cord Diesel, he literally lives, like, 2 minutes from me. We haven't dropped any songs yet, but there's a lot of, like, stuff in the works.
I'm definitely excited to hear that. Does he have a Twitter?
Yeah. But
you have to link me in after this.
Yeah, I got you. I can't remember off top.
So who do you wish to work with next out of the state?
I want to keep working with the same people, like, the times I've worked with, like, Muda and Say and Mike, we called each other at the right time, you know? Like, because back then, we used to just go to their house, and Muda would just, like, you could get a session with Muda for, like, 30, 40 bucks or whatever. I would go, and then they would just be there, and I'd be like, yo, hop on this song. I'd be like, all right. So that's kind of how that
just
worked out.
Cook it up.
Yeah. But
that's
like
a great environment.
Yeah, facts. And it's, like, a crib, so we were just chilling. But I definitely want to, like, work with them again, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, but really, like, lock in. And like other artists too. Like I've worked with Polo before, Polo Perks. I want to like make some more stuff with him. I kind of just want to work with everybody, you know what I'm saying? Because I feel like I could blend in with whoever. So I kind of just want to like just keep it going.
Keep grinding. I like that.
Yeah.
So I saw Seamus Fay from Lyrical Lemonade wrote, "Not many projects have been able to capture such a vivid image of everyday life and events and energy that come with it as this project does. And in all honesty, the All of This Is True EP might just be one of my favorite recent releases for that very reason. What feelings rushed through your mind when you saw Lyrical Lemonade show love?"
It was dope because I didn't even like, I didn't submit it or anything. Like he just, I think he followed Subi on SoundCloud, Subi K.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think he just like picked it up when I dropped it because I had a feature from Subi, so Subi reposted it. Yeah. Yeah, and then he was just like, oh, he listened to it and he liked it and he DM'd me and he put it on his personal blog. It's called Graduation Music, I think. They like cover, yeah, they cover artists out of Boston.
I'll have to follow that one too.
Yeah, and he's like, that's like his main blog, but then he's also like a writer for Lyrical mm-hmm. Lemonade. So then he just, I guess the next day he just posted it up. And it was dope.
That must have been awesome because that's a big name right now.
Man. Yeah, definitely.
Shout out Cole.
Yeah, Cole Bennett. Y'all always forget they're like together. Like that's his thing. But yeah, it was dope because it was just like, I don't know. Like, because I always wanted to get like the recognition and from the big blogs and stuff, but I never like really submitted anything. So it was nice to see somebody like
reaching out.
Yeah, and really fuck with it.
That's dope. So when it comes to production, how do you choose beats for your songs and projects?
Like, early on, I would just choose whatever like sounded good. Mm-hmm. But like for my last project, like for Upside, the last project I put out, that was kind of like I didn't really choose like the beats per se for like a certain sound, but like I wanted like all the songs to be like centered around like kind of not heartbreak, but just women relations. You know what I'm saying? Because that's like a bit. That's like kind of like what drove the project. Okay. So like that's not really like that doesn't really answer your question, but it kind of does. But like how I choose the beats now, like I just whatever sounds good, like, and like I'm working on this new project called 7 Second Offense, and like the theme is more like dark beats. It's not really like a theme in terms of the subject matter, but just how it sounds. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And when you like hear that beat in the studio, you like lock in and you realize that this is the one I'm gonna work on now, and then you're gonna
And then I used to like write the songs before to the beat, and then record like I would write it days before and stuff. But now since I got my own setup, I just
You're in the stew and you're just sitting
there. Just write it and go.
I like that. So do you stick with producers that you previously worked with, like your boy C-Note? Do you that better?
Yeah, definitely. But I also like to work with whoever. Like if your shit's hot, it's hot. It doesn't matter to me.
Then you just want to collab. I like that.
Yeah.
That's cool. So which producers know your flow the best? Would you say C-Note does?
Yeah, I'd say C-Note. Definitely The Law. The Law.
I was gonna say The Law does a good job.
Yeah, he's good for like a lot of like the more banger oriented stuff. Mm-hmm. But there's this producer from Cali. His name is Soshu, mm-hmm. and I've worked with him on and off. And he like really gets me like in my bag because like because my main thing is like I really like the soulful boom bap beats kind of. Mm-hmm. Well, not mostly boom bap, but just anything that got soul, like that jazzy kind of feel.
I was going to say, you got a real jazzy tune to it, almost like a Mick Jenkins type.
Yeah. And that's funny you say that, because Mick Jenkins is kind of like how I patterned my first raps, like when I first started in 2014.
Yeah, like 2014, 15, I heard like the early Mick Jenkins in you almost. Mm-hmm. That's the first guy who I thought.
Yeah, The Waters, that definitely had a big impact on me.
I love that tape, bro.
Yeah, so definitely just Soshu, like I like working with him. He's like a lot of soulful stuff, so it's nice.
I like that. So do you have separate processes for project compared to singles, or like what's your process with the project?
I kind of just keep making songs, you know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. then I listen to them after, and whichever ones are like kind of similar or like similar theme or like production wise, then I like put them together. Mm-hmm. And then that'll be like the basis of it. And then after that, I start building more songs around that. And then if I make a certain song and it sounds like an intro, all right, boom, that's an intro for a project. It sounds like an outro, that's an outro. So it kind of just goes like that. Like.
And you're just grinding, you're just recording. It doesn't matter. Like,
if
it'll fall into the pocket that you need it to.
Yeah, it's not really like a set. I want to start doing like where I like plan it out and start writing stories for each song and stuff. But I don't really like have that like.
That's the next step.
Yeah.
You don't have to stress about it yet. Mm-hmm. But when it comes time, that would be really cool to see like an entire project with a whole story like with it.
Yeah.
So my next question is, what's your opinion on sampling?
Fire. Yeah. Don't ever stop sampling.
Really?
Yeah. To all the producers, don't stop sampling, bro.
You hear this? My boy TJ's a producer.
All right, you're gonna have to link up after this. All right, bet. But yeah, don't stop sampling. Everything's a sample, you know what I'm saying? Every sound, there's no original sounds, you know what I'm saying? Even mm-hmm. your snare that you got on the song is a sample from somewhere else, you know what I'm saying? You didn't make the snare. I mean, some people do, but mm-hmm. you didn't make it yourself. So like everything's a sample. Just keep putting sounds together. Whatever sounds good, it sounds good.
I like that. So earlier this week, you were talking about how you have an EP on the way. You said that was a 7-yard.
No. All right, so
this is another one that.
Yeah. About. I got 3 projects I'm trying to drop this first quarter. So it's I got a collab with Two Butter, because we only dropped like 3 or 4 collabs mm-hmm. last year. like features, whatever, together.
Yeah.
But before that, we have a whole bunch, you know what I'm saying? And we always make shit in the studio. Like, we're always working.
He's nice.
Yeah, yeah. That's my favorite dude to rap with, hands down.
He was on Don't Die, right?
Yeah, yeah,
bro,
yeah.
That's probably my favorite song by you guys.
Yeah, he's like, I guess you could lump him in the gangster rapper category, but it's different. It's like a lot of gangster rappers, you hear like, oh, we got it from the mud, we got it from the trenches. Like, it's real, like, broad statements. But when he raps, it's like, he really, like, sets the table and he paints the whole picture for you. Like, if you're talking about robbing somebody, he's not gonna be like, oh, I just robbed somebody. It's gonna be like, he's gonna let you know what color the walls was, feel me? How he got the guy, tied him up. Like, it's dope.
Interesting, bro. So out of all these projects that you've dropped over the years, what do you think is your personal favorite? You got Good Move, the EP, Colors EP, All for Nothing, Courage, Patience, Confidence, All of This is True, All for One, and Upside.
That's a lot. I don't know. I'd probably say, I think I'm probably go with, it's like a dark horse pick, but I'm gonna go with Good Move. Yeah, Good Move. Just cause like when I recorded it all in one night, and I was actually at Muda's house. It was like the Christmas like night, like the night before Christmas.
Yep.
Yeah. So I was just recording there, and it was just dope. Like how we all came together, and I like the artwork a lot. I like basketball, so.
That's funny. That's literally my favorite one out of them all. I listened to all of them through today, and I had to say, like, Villain 2, mm-hmm. other than Don't Die, is probably my favorite song. But, yeah, that's definitely my personal favorite, so it's cool that you thought the same.
Yeah, right. And side note, Say is actually on Villain 2. He's just doing the ad-libs.
I was going to ask, because I heard his ad-libs, yeah. But it didn't say his name, so yeah, I was okay.
Yeah, that's definitely Say on there. And for the three projects I'm going to drop, it's going to be 7 Second Offense is going to be my, like, longer project solo, mm-hmm. and then the collab one with 2 Butter.
Yep.
We don't really have a name. We just call it like 32 Butter,
okay.
or like some shit like that. We're gonna figure it out though.
Yeah.
And then the next one is gonna be probably the next, like the one that's coming up next is gonna be a Good Move too.
Cool.
And it's gonna be like a couple more songs on it, bigger and better.
That's dope, bro. I'm excited. So yeah,
me too.
you said that's for first quarter.
Yeah. Good Move 2. It's probably going to go Good Move 2, the 2 Butter collab, and then 7 Second Offense.
And that's the last one's going to be a March-y thing?
Probably like around there, yeah. March, April.
Cool. So our next thing is discography details. So I'm going to list off a couple singles and just like explain like the night you were there or like what made you write it. Anything that pops up in your head when I say the name of the song. So the first one, Bushido Boys. Bushido Brown.
Oh, I made that. I was in a prep school. I was in fucking Maine. Yeah, because I went to prep school to play really? Football and shit. Yeah. So I was in Maine. And I was with my boy.
Jay the God, right?
Yeah, he's from New York and stuff. And so we're both like real, like we were close. We used to hang out every day, feel me? Like mm-hmm. close, like geography wise, like from like the states we were from. So I was hanging with him. And that's actually what kind of started. I said 2014, like when I kind of started rapping, but that was like the precursor to that. That was like
really?
Like the warm up. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, J. Cole got the warm up, the come up and shit. That was like the come up, the warm up. To the whatever, but yeah, Bushido Brown, we were just in my dorm, like my one of our friends had a little blue microphone, like the little Death Star looking ones, mm-hmm. and we were just recording off of that, and I had
like a snowball.
I had the snowball, and I was I forget it was one program that's on Windows, like the basic ass recording program,
Audacity.
I think it was Audacity, and we were just recording that. I took a beat from this producer, I can't remember his name, but he actually produced for Kendrick.
No, it was Who Are I?
Yeah, Who Are I? Yeah, he produced for Kendrick. Really? Like on his I think his last project or 2 projects ago.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I just like stole the beat and we just recorded off of that. It was lit.
It's dope, bro. So the next one is Girls Love Jones, and this is produced by your boy Cino.
You know, yeah, this is like the first, like this is like my first real song, and
that shit got 6,000 plays.
Yeah, that's how it always happens. Your first song, like people, like you're a little bit popular, like just as a person, like your first song always goes crazy.
Yep.
And then after that, it's about like keep making hot songs because everybody fucked with you in the beginning,
but you got to keep it consistent.
Yeah, or else it wanes off. But that one, we was just he played the beat for me, and he's on that song too. People just don't know. Yeah, he's on a chorus, like because I was afraid to sing back then. Like mm-hmm. that's why I'm just all monotone on the song, just mm-hmm. one voice, like. Or the deep voice, but he was like doing the backups and shit. Like
that's dope. But you were learning.
Yeah. And we were at this kid, Larry Love's house. Shout out Larry Love. he has like an afro. We were just recording in his basement. So yeah, it was a fun night.
So what about Those Nights, produced by Future Beats?
That's like a low key stole that beat too, from from this kid on SoundCloud. He like from Japan, but Yeah, that one. I think I wrote it. I was in my dorm when I wrote that. Mm-hmm. I wrote it like I wrote it in my dorm. Like I think it was off, like I based it off a freestyle or something like that. Or I was at a party. Like I was at a party with one of these kids. Like these kids I was hanging out back in college, and it wasn't like a college party. We were at this girl's house, and I was freestyling, and I said I'm a token fat kid or whatever. Yes. I'm a token black kid, and my friend was like, "Oh, I like that." I'm like, "All right, we'll make it a song." And then I went home, like, to the dorm, like, wrote it, stole the beat, and then, yeah, just recorded it. Muda also recorded that one for me, too.
God, that's dope, bro. So what about In This Bitch featuring Kesubi K?
what's it called? He just sent me that. Like, he had recorded it already, mm-hmm. and he sent it to me. And I was at the time, I was going to Southern, and they had this little studio place where you can go record.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So I just went there, and I just recorded the feature. And yeah, cool. That's why, like, you hear the verses, like, my verse isn't as, like, loud as his, mm-hmm. so that's why I, like,
mixed differently.
Yeah.
Now how about I Lied About One featuring Tuba the Misfit and Mike?
That's like an example of one of the times we were all in the same place.
Yeah
so we were I was recording at Muda's crib, and then yeah, they was all there. I played the beat, I got it from my boy Jonathan for three. Yep. His old name used to be J-Rock, but he changed it to Jonathan for three. But yeah, we were just recording at Muda's house, mm-hmm. and I was like me, it was supposed to be me and Butter. So I did the chorus, and then Butter was on it. Mm-hmm. And then I had Muda and Mike like, "Yo, come spice it up for me, like do your That's background cool. stuff, yeah. do what you gotta do." Yeah.
Just add a little bit to it.
Yeah, and then
spice it up.
Mm-hmm. And then it ended up sounding like very cinematic. Like mm-hmm. it sounded like, that's why, like, I don't know, I try to make my stuff sound like it could be in the soundtrack for a movie. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I could see that being like at the end of like a Fast and Furious or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
I could see that actually.
Yeah.
So Boot It Up with Chirp Boomin, the guy.
Yeah. That's my boy. I'm actually supposed to link up with him later tonight.
Really?
Yeah. But that was I recorded that in my crib, and then like he just like he said he fucked with me. He wanted to work, mm-hmm. so I was like, all right. I heard his the Fat Bitches song. Yeah, yeah. That's a banger.
I love fat bitches. What you talking about?
It's wavy. So yeah, I heard that shit. And I was like, all right, what kind of song can I give him so that'll work? Mm-hmm. So I recorded the Booted Up shit like a week before, and I was like, all right, we're gonna do this. So I sent it to him, and then he's like, he wrote some shit. Then we went to this kid and Lil Michael. He works with like Muda.
I love Lil Michael.
Yeah. So we went to his house, and Muda was there, and then we just recorded it, and then Muda like mixed it up a little bit. Like,
that was back in New Haven when he used to go to school there.
No, that was this is like a year old. Lil Michael.
Yeah.
So when he went to UNH. But yeah, this was like last year. I think it was like early, like it was like in May or April, something like that.
That's when I found out about him. Word. He's nice, bro.
Lil Michael?
Yeah. He's different, but he's wavy.
Mm-hmm.
His voice sets him out from everybody else. You can tell it's him when he hops on the track.
Yeah, and I like his the Hawaii song. Hawaii?
His project was good too.
I had to have a chance to listen to it, but I want to though.
Yeah, bro. I definitely recommend it. Word. So This is another one of my favorites. Everything Gucci, produced by Social, right?
Yeah. See, because Social gets me in my bag, and it's that soulful shit. So, like, what happened? That's another one I recorded off of Blue Mic, actually.
Really?
Yeah, the Snowball ones, yeah. So I
couldn't even tell.
Yeah, nah, because I don't know. It's just, like, I, like, mixed it, like, 3-4 times. And, like, my boy, what happened was, this before I had a studio set. So mm-hmm. we were at my house. It was me, Butta, and Kill Phil. I don't know if you heard of Kill Phil.
I don't think so.
He's from Stanford, actually. I think it is, I want to say.
No, I don't think so.
Stanford or Stratford. Yeah, he's nice. He produces and he raps. He's dope. So check him out.
Yeah.
And, we were just at my house, and he had the Snowball, whatever. And I recorded that there. But that song, like, what inspired it is just like my ex, like,
really?
Yeah, just like think about the most fucked up things I could do to her if I had another chance, feel me? Like,
yeah,
just grimy shit.
We all got that one.
Yeah, facts.
So what about Every Summer? This is the last one. It's featuring Barefoot Will, and it's produced by Chef the Chef. He's nice.
Yeah, facts. That's like one of the first beats Chef sent me, and that's another one inspired. Like, that whole project is like pretty much like a letter to my ex, like, mm-hmm. like shit like that. But yeah, that's another one. This is Every Summer, right? Yeah. So pretty much like, literally like every summer, this girl like she'll randomly pull up on me, like it's like clockwork. Like every summer, like towards the beginning, like I'll be at work, she'll come to my job, or like I'll be home, she'll give me a ride to work. Like randomly, just only once though, like once every summer, and that's it. So yeah,
and it disappears.
Yeah, yeah, that's what inspired like the song. And then my boy Barefoot Will, he's from Brantford too, mm-hmm. like my town I live in now. And he was just like at my crib. Like he's he goes back from there like, in Maine. Mm-hmm. So he was at my crib, and we were just recording some shit. And I was like, "Yo, just give me 4 bars for me."
Just hop on.
Yeah, because he plays guitar. He's very soulful and stuff. Mm-hmm. So like the way when he did his verse, I'm like, "Yeah, this is
melodic."
Yeah. And it's like a nice change of pace because there's not that many features. I don't think there's any features on that project actually. On Upside, I think he's the only one.
Yeah.
Or no, I think there's one more. Deuce Blaze. Yeah, Deuce Blaze. He's okay. Yeah. The second feature.
Hakeem has nothing. 2007 has no one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
So I think it's just him and Deuce Blaze or the features on there. So I like that I brought him in to kind of like break up the amount of times you hear my voice, like,
yeah,
because it could get annoying no matter who the rapper is. Like, you just keep hearing the same shit.
It's good to hear features. Like, not really one of the only people that can do it with no features. Every single project is J. Cole right now.
Yeah, yeah. And even still, that's like one of the knocks against J. Cole. Like, he's nice, mm-hmm. but it's like people get tired of hearing the same kind of.
They want to hear other people.
Yeah, yeah.
And not just his alternate personality that he had. What was it?
I think it's Kill Edward. Or
yeah, Kill Edward.
Or something like that.
That's funny. Like, everybody was like, yo, he got a feature. You thought he got a feature.
Yeah, no.
So, what's next? You said you got a 3 project coming in the first quarter.
Yeah, so the next one definitely is Good Moves too.
Okay.
I've been, all the songs I've been recording has kind of been going towards that. And that's just going to be like a lot of basketball references. It's kind of, it's not really a theme. It's just about just bigger and better. Like, you feel me?
Yep.
Like, just a good move. Like, you playing in the game, there's somebody with a spin up and under, good move. So, that's what that is. And then after that, like I said, the 2 Butter project. Mm-hmm. And that one is kind of, it's not really a theme for that. We were just like, this is just the shit that we recorded. Mm-hmm. So like a lot of the songs is me like on the hooks. And then he's one of my favorite rappers, so I'll just let him take the verses over and stuff.
Yeah.
But there'll also be songs with us just trading bars back and forth because I know people like that shit.
Back and forth. That's it. That's something I heard. I think it was Dave East and G Herbo back in the day. They had a song together doing that. Mm-hmm. And it really flipped. Actually, no, I think it was Yachty and G Herbo, and it was fire.
You were?
Yeah. Offer summer songs, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I never used to fuck with G Herbo, but after that, after that freestyle Herbo? He did.
Oh,
who you think
LA
you had not us? Me the marathon, fuck hoes like Tia the marathon. He was like rapping like this.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Had his arms crossed. That shit was amazing. And bro, that put me all the way on board.
I've been fucking with him since the Lil Herb days.
He Word.
Fight or Flight remixed with Chance and Common. Mm-hmm. That shit fire, bro. Go look that up. I'm telling you, you'll fuck with him. Like, it was before the G Herbo days, but it's still fire.
Word, yeah. I definitely got to do some research.
So, where do you see yourself in 1 year, 5 years, and 10 years?
1 year, hopefully... Out of CT, but just like being able to travel and do mm-hmm. other things, like
not just be stuck here.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So that, and also I want to like really master my mixing, really have the quality be like A1, because mm-hmm. it's like a big thing. Like to me, like just like now when I hear music, I can't even really like appreciate it, like for what they're saying and the beats and stuff. Like I just hear like how the voice sounds on the beat and the little intricacies of it. Mm-hmm. So that's like my thing, get the mixing down A1 and being able to have options after year one. He said 5 years?
5 years and then 10.
5 years, 2 actual projects in, like studio projects mm-hmm. in. I don't know, hopefully like, not hopefully sign to somebody, but like have a team behind me mm-hmm. that makes sense, you know? And then, just like touring and shit and making money. Yep. And then 10 years, shit, if I'm 23 now and I'm 33, 10 years, hopefully I'm not even rapping. I'm just like, I want to do like voiceovers for like cartoons and movies and shit like that. Cool. Yeah. And like, I want to direct a horror movie like really bad. Really? I love horror movies. Yeah. That's like my thing.
I just saw Escape Room last night. That shit was fire.
You liked it?
Yeah.
People have been saying it's kind of like a mix between Saw and this movie called The Cube.
Oh, I haven't seen The Cube, but it definitely was like Saw, but a little less gory.
Yeah, yeah. So, which is good, because I think Saw, they overdid it. They killed it with the horror, torture porn and shit.
But it set them above everybody else in that category, though.
Yeah, yeah, definitely set them apart. They kind of like made that category what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like Saw, because it's like they only had the budget for one room. And first one. Mm-hmm. So they just bought one room and just did the whole thing there. Yeah,
that's crazy.
So. Yo, I think who directed it? James Wan, I think.
I have no. It was two people. So.
Or
two creators at least. I don't know the director, but yeah.
No, yeah, you're right. I'm gonna look that up right now. Yeah, no, the first Saw was dope because, like you said, they were very limited. Yeah. That's like you watch some of the shots, it's like a lot of, like a shaky cam and like
James Wan.
Yeah, James Wan, yeah. And there's a scene like the black dude from Lethal Weapon, Danny Glover, yeah. He's like almost, he's like tracking him down, he's going down the hallway, but there's like fog all over the floor and it makes no sense.
Yeah,
but you can just tell they were just trying to make, like, just put a movie together, but it actually worked out.
Hey, and then they got an entire series out of it.
Yeah, a lot of millions made.
And did we do 10 or was that?
Yeah, that was 10.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
horror movie director.
What do you plan to record during your free session that you want at Packed House?
That's a good question. I don't know. I've been thinking about it. I definitely want to do a collab EP with somebody. I just don't want to take all the time for myself. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, I hit up Lord and Punk out of Danbury.
Yep.
So I'm thinking, we've been supposed to collab since 2014. So I'm thinking we just nip it in the bud and do like four Finally or five songs.
Yeah.
And just get it done. So I'll probably end up doing that.
Work. So is there anyone else that you'd like to shout out before we end today's interview?
Well, first of all, shout out my nigga Frank for bringing me.
Thank you, man.
You can't hear him or see him, but he's here. And then shout out my nigga Cordese, my boy Tone, my uncle Brian. It sounds like he's like older, very older than me, but he's only like 26. So shout out Brian. And I don't know, everybody that fucks with me, I guess.
Like, all the fans.
Yeah, this is just the beginning. So it's like I got a lot of growing to do and a lot of things to learn. And I'm just like, hopefully like everybody's willing to like come with me on that journey, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Stick around. Cause once we hit the stride, you know what I'm saying, it's gonna be crazy. Oh, it's gonna be like Giannis Euro steps, dunking on everybody.
He's gonna be the greatest NBA pick player like in so long, bro. I love Giannis.
Yeah, Pops. He might be like the most unique of all time.
Yeah,
easily. Like he's just a 6'11" Westbrook.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I was gonna say he's like a point guard, but the height of a power forward.
Yeah, no, he's crazy. Shout out Giannis.
Hey, man, well, thank you for coming on, bro. I appreciate this. We finally got it.
No doubt. Yeah, this was fun. First interview.
Hey, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's what I'd like to hear.
It's so, very rare.
Yeah. So this ends Season 5, Episode 3, and shout out our sponsors, The Depot Collection, Upraise, and Packed House.